Amen. It has been wonderful. As I said earlier, it was great to be in the house. It's already been wonderful to be in the house of the Lord today and to sing and worship and to honor our graduates, of which I am most proud of them, obviously of my daughter Erica, but the other three have been very much involved in Second Baptist Church as far as Wednesday night activities, mission trips, and other things. They are very much a part of the ministry of Second Baptist Church. I want to share with you this morning from the passage of Scripture that the majority of the song that you heard as the background of the video. It comes from Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 27. We'll be looking at that. So if you have your Bibles ready and if you want to go ahead and open those to that passage of Scripture, if you're watching online, I encourage you to grab your Bible, open it up there. The verses will be on your screen. Also, if you have the YouVersion Bible app, the notes are available there. If you know how to search that, you can find in your events, Second Baptist Church, the notes are available online. When Pastor Chris talked to me about preaching on this morning, traditionally when it is graduate Sunday, I do have this opportunity, so I thank him for giving me the opportunity today to do so. This passage of Scripture just kept coming to my mind, and so I dwelled on it, and I said, yes, Lord, I will preach from this passage, because I think it's appropriate not only for our graduates, but also for the time in which we find ourselves. As we think about all the unrest that we see in the world today, and this threefold blessing that we see here, that God instructs Moses to share with Aaron and his sons to pronounce over the Israelites, I think we see that it is appropriate for today and it is needed. And how we, even as Christ followers, can be a part of that blessing, of being a blessing to others. So if you are willing, if you're able, would you please stand as we read this passage of Scripture? I'll pray, and then we'll get into the message today. If you've looked at the notes online, you've noticed that there are several blanks. And I told Jason this morning that if I average 2 minutes a blank, Pastor Chris, there'll be 22 minutes. So we've got to get going, don't we? Amen. All right, let me read this. I'm reading this morning from the Christian Standard Bible. It says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, 'Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. You should say to them, May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look with favor on you and give you peace. In this way, they will pronounce my name over the Israelites, and I will bless them.'" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, you are good and gracious and wonderful. And this morning, it has truly been a blessing to be in your house. I pray, Father, that as we examine your word, that our hearts would be open. I pray that the Holy Spirit would make your word burn within our hearts. May we learn today how you desire to bless us and how you desire that we are to be a blessing to others. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This is a rather unique blessing. And one of the things that as I studied this passage of Scripture that I had not considered before was the fact that this possibly alludes to the Trinity. I was reading one commentary, and it doesn't necessarily come out and say that this blessing is about the Trinity, but if you look at this threefold blessing, you can see how it might illustrate the Trinity. In the first part, God the Father blesses and keeps his children. In the second part, God the Son makes his face to shine on us and brings us grace. And then in that third part, God the Holy Spirit communicates God's attention to us and gives us peace. Charles Spurgeon had this to say. He said, "I will not say that this teaches the doctrine of the Trinity, but I must say that believing the doctrine of the Trinity, I understand the passage all the better. The shadow of the triune God is on the sacred benediction in the name thrice repeated. You see there each time in those verses, the Lord bless you, the Lord, you know, and you see that repetition and you almost have this idea, it is a reference to the triune God and how honestly the triune God wants to have a relationship with His people and He wants to bless His people. So this morning, if you're taking notes, the main idea that I find in this passage, and even I mentioned in my prayer this morning, is that God desires for us to be blessed and to be a blessing to others. You see here as God, He instructed Moses to share with Aaron and his sons, this is what you are to say over the Israelites. So we see that God desires to bless His people. But not only that, but we see that God wants us to be a blessing to others. So the key question this morning is, are you a pathway of blessing to those around you? You know, I believe that we are not to be a reservoir of God's blessings, that we just hoard them for ourselves, but we are to be a pathway or a channel of blessing. Amen? We sing that hymn from time to time, do we not? Y'all thought I was done singing. I led three hymns this morning. I won't sing this, but I just want to share this with you, right? Y'all know how much I love to sing, so... And if you're watching online, I do from time to time reference hymns because they're just a big part of who we are as Christ followers. The hymn says, "Is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God flowing through you? Are you telling the lost of the Savior? Are you ready His service to do? Is your life a channel of blessing? Are you burdened for those who are lost? Have you urged upon those who are straying the Savior who died on the cross? Is your life a blessing? Is it daily telling for Him? Have you spoken the word of salvation to those who are dying in sin?" We cannot be channels of blessing if our lives are not free from known sin. We will barriers be and a hindrance to those who we are trying to win. And then the chorus says, "Make me a channel of blessing today. Make me a channel of blessing, I pray. My life possessing, my service blessing. Make me a channel of blessing today." That should be our prayer, should it not? As God blesses us, and He truly blesses us, as we see in this passage of Scripture, how He desires to bless us, He wants us to be a pathway of that blessing in the lives of those around us. So are you a pathway of that blessing? You know, this was the intent of God all along. If you remember from Genesis chapter 12, when God revealed Himself to Abram and He said to leave His people, I want to read that to you. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, it says, "The Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your land, your relatives, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And listen to this, you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt.'" And listen to this again, "And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you." You see, God's intent here was to bless Abram, to make him a great nation, but through him and through his family, through his lineage, to be a blessing to those around him. And not just immediately, not just within his lifetime, but for the rest of all history. And we know that through the family of Abraham, a Messiah was promised and came Jesus Christ. And truly God has blessed people with the opportunity of salvation through Jesus Christ. Amen? So then, as the hymn told us this morning about being a channel of blessing and talking about, are you daily telling of that Savior? That is one way, one simple way that we can be a channel or a pathway of blessing to those around us is to tell people about Jesus. Amen? Not just with our actions, although that is important, mind you, but through the words of Scripture, through the gospel, the wonderful good news of Jesus Christ. This morning, I see here four things. I know I told you three, the threefold blessing, but I think the fourth thing is more kind of, the culmination of the blessing that we find in verse 27. So let's look at verse 24 this morning. I see here this aspects of the blessing of God on our lives. First, God desires for us to be blessed, which we've talked about already, and protected. Blessed and protected. Many of you know that I like alliteration. And so this morning, I tried to make it easy. You've already had some B's for your blanks, and you've already had some words that begin with P. And so now you know the pattern in which, so if you write B in that first blank and P in that second blank on the rest of it, you'll be ahead, right? I'm trying to help you out this morning. Amen? All right, y'all can loosen up this morning, right? Amen. Blessed and protected. When we look at this word, this Hebrew word, what is the intent behind this? When you see here, may the Lord bless you and protect you. That Hebrew word, it has behind it God's desire for our greatest good. Not just a simple blessing, because mind you, God blesses those who are not His children. God blesses all people. But He truly wants to bless His children. And I think He specifically wants to be involved in their lives because we are trusting in Him and we are trying to live our lives for Him. Because the Scripture is plain and clear that He causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust alike. Amen? And that is a blessing to all. But He intends to bless His children for their greatest good. And our God and Father, that is His desire for us. Listen to what the Scripture says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. Notice there, this is an indication, this is a directive or a pointing to those who have trusted God as their Lord and Savior through Jesus Christ. So let me speak toward that just here at the beginning, and I'll come back to it at the end of the sermon this morning. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God cannot bless you as He desires to bless you. I know that because I am in Jesus Christ. I know that because when I was almost 8 years old and I asked God to save me from my sins, I repented of my sins, and I asked Him to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I know that I am truly blessed because from that time to this day, I've seen the hand of God in my life, and He has worked for my greatest good. Amen? Even though, mind you, that sometimes I fought Him because I'm stubborn, Pastor Chris. I don't know if you've noticed that. He's worked with me for 2 years now. Amen? Yeah, I don't know if you're hearing him or not, but he has suffered greatly. I have a stubborn, I'm strong-headed sometimes. And even though that comes out in my relationship with God, still His desire for me and my life is that all things would work together for the good. Because I love Him and because I am called according to His purpose. So you're asking, well, how in the world? Because we need to make application, don't we? Because it's not just about God desiring to bless us, but it's also about God's desire for us to be a blessing to others. So how can we seek the greatest good of those around us? Well, I think the Apostle Paul gives us an indication of that in a passage of Scripture that I believe Pastor Chris will talk about further and more completely next week. So I won't spend too much time, and you're saying thank you because we've got to get out of here this morning, right? So Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, this is what the Apostle Paul says. He says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look not to his own interests, but rather to the interests of others." And let me tell you something. That is rather hard to do in this day and age when everything is centered around me and what is best for me, right? And it sounds really good that God wants to work for my greatest good or for our greatest good, but what we've got to understand is that it's not just so that we can hoard those blessings, but so that we can seek the greatest good of those around us. And the way that we do that is not look to our own interests, but look to the interest of others. Amen? And when we see what is happening in our world today, we are so concerned, and mind you, there are rights that we have, but when we are more concerned about our rights over someone else's rights, then there is a problem, is there not? Now, we got to discern whether or not someone's opinion of their rights actually lines up to the Word of God, amen? But we need to consider these things and how we can, and when we talk about telling of Jesus to others, we need to consider how we respond to things. Amen? And it's not just about my rights and what I have the right to say in that moment, but we need to consider others because we're trying to draw them to Jesus Christ. All right. That was just blessed. Am I going to be able to do it, Pastor? All right. Let's look at protected now. Protected. God desires to keep His children, to guard them. Listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm chapter 5, verse 11. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them shout for joy forever. May you shelter them, and may those who love your name boast about you. And that is one of the most wonderful things that I think, that it, especially in a time of pandemic, that God is sheltering us. He is protecting us. I think about how even in this recent situation with Alre and Carrie, and how God is protecting them and He is upholding them with His righteous right hand. Listen to what Isaiah says in Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear. This is God speaking. For I am with you. Do not be afraid. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand. And let me tell you something, that when we go through the trials and the tribulations of life, it is so comforting to know that God the Father is holding on to us with His righteous right hand, because He is the all-powerful God and He can help us through anything. Just a few years ago, around this time, my mother passed away. And I will tell you that in that moment, God protected me and He guarded my heart and He strengthened me during that time. It's those times that we lean on the everlasting. Do we sing these hymns and not believe them and not live them out? Leaning on the everlasting arms. We're saying this morning, well, Jonathan, how do we protect? How do we keep? How do we guard others? Listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 82, 3 and 4. He says, provide justice for the needy and the fatherless. Uphold the rights of the oppressed and the destitute. Rescue the poor and needy. Save them from the power of the wicked. We need to stand up for injustice in this world, do we not? We need to stand up for those who cannot stand for themselves. And specifically, when we think about this in rescuing and guarding and protecting, racism is wrong, is it not? The killing of the unborn is wrong. It goes against Scripture. And those are the things that we stand up for. Those are the things that we keep, we guard, and we try to protect in this world. And those are just a couple of examples as we look at that this morning. We need to move on. Let's go to the number two, the second aspect of this blessing, as we look at verse 25. Beloved. God desires for us to know that we are beloved and pardoned. Beloved and pardoned. When you look at this verse, may the Lord make His face shine on you. Oh, I don't know about... When I think about the Lord making His face shine on me, I think about the smile of God. Is anybody? When I think about my own father, when His face shines on me, I think about the smile that He has because He is proud of His child, because He loves His child. Amen? When you look at this, we know that that when God's face smiles upon us, we are beloved by God. And I want to tell you, there is no greater truth than the display of the smile of God than when He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to be one of us, to take on flesh and dwell among us, and to show us He was the light that was shining on us. Right? Isn't that what the prophecy said about Jesus Christ? The light has shined. It has shone on men. And He smiled on us through His Son, Jesus Christ. So now you see how this blessing really illustrates the Trinity. Because God, through His Son, Jesus, smiles on His children. We know very well John 3:16, "For God loved the world in this way, He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life." If you are here today and you have not known this love of God, if you're watching online and you have not known this love of God, let me tell you that through Jesus Christ, and almost 2,000 years ago now, He displayed His love on mankind by sending His Son to the cross to die for us so that we might have forgiveness of sins and be able to live eternally with Him. So how can we be a blessing in that sense to others? How can we? Well, Jesus gives this command, "I give you a new command, love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples." How? If you love one another. Now, let me tell you this morning that a mark of a disciple, a child of Jesus, of God, of a disciple of Jesus Christ, is the love that He has for those around Him or her. Amen? All right. Let's look. Are y'all okay? All right. I see some smiles. All right. You're saying this morning, "Jonathan, pick up the pace a little bit. Pardon. Let's look at this. We've already kind of alluded to this. Beloved and pardon. Listen to what He says here. "And be gracious to you." I don't know about you, but when I think about the grace of God, I think about what was poured out on mankind in Jesus Christ when He went to the cross. We know the verses there in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. I don't have those on the screen for you. "But for by grace you are saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast," right? It is the grace of God that is poured out on mankind. Listen to what Paul says in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, instructing us to deny godlessness and worldly lust, and to live in a sensible, righteous, and godly way in the present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." Now listen to this. He gave Himself. That is grace, the giving, right? He gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness. Now, my goodness, that is the blessing of God. He redeems us from all lawlessness. He takes all of our sins away, right? That is, oh my, I'm getting excited this morning. I did not deserve this. My heart is prone to leave the God that I love, to wonder. But He poured out His grace on me nonetheless through His Son Jesus. Listen, He gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to cleanse for Himself a people for His own possession, eager to do good works. And I don't know about you, but the more I am enthralled by the grace of God, the more that I want to work for my Savior. The more that I want to go and tell people about His wondrous love for them. Isn't that what we sing sometimes? Tell the wondrous story. Or I will sing the wondrous story. Wasn't even planning to do that when it came to mind. There you go. Somebody keeping, are you keeping track? All right, good. So how can we when we think about pardon. Now, we can't pardon people as God pardons people, but let me tell you something. We are called to forgive as God forgives us. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning of verse 31. Let all bitterness, anger, and wrath, shouting, and slander be removed from you, along with all malice. And then he says this, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as also God forgave you in Christ. I don't know about you, but that is a difficult thing to do sometimes, especially when we feel like the hurt was egregious. And again, when we think about this day and age, when we are concerned about ourselves and our rights, and when someone infringes on those things, we are still called to forgive those individuals, right? And by the grace of God, let me tell you, by the grace of God, that can happen. And I could tell you stories about how in moments where I have truly been wronged, all right? It wasn't just about what I was thinking and what I set up as my own rights in my life, but I've truly been wronged in my life. And in those moments, by the grace of God, I was able to forgive. And I'm not telling you that so you can pat me on the back. I'm just telling you that so you know it's possible. And many of you here this morning or watching online, you could attest to the same thing, that in those moments, beyond your capability, God infuses your life with that ability to forgive as God has forgiven you. So you're blessed and protected, beloved and pardoned, and you're also bestowed and possessed. All right, I know we'll get to the possessed in a moment, because usually possessed has a negative connotation, does it not? I mean, even when you said that, you were like, "Woo, where's he going with that?" I'll share with you in just a moment. Bestowed and possessed. Even as you think about this word, when the Lord says, "This is how you're to bless," may the Lord look with favor or turn his face towards you. The meaning of this word can even include to look eye to eye. I mean, think about that. To look eye to eye with a clear conscience. And let me tell you something, that when the grace of God is poured into your life and you are forgiven and you are a child of God, this is what God does. He lifts your face so that you can look him eye to eye, and his attention is totally upon you this morning. Amen? That's what it looks like. What it looks like when God looks with favor, when he bestows his favor upon you. Listen what the scripture says in Psalm chapter 34, verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry for help. Isn't that comforting? That's one of the things Pastor Chris and I, we were there Friday as Miss Carrie was in surgery, just talking with the family and just encouraging them. And this verse, honestly, was on my heart the entire day, thinking about this family and knowing that the eyes of the Lord are on Al Ray and Molly and Maggie and the rest of the family, and on Miss Carrie as she's in the operating room, right? His eyes are on the righteous. And guess what? There were many of God's children crying for help in that moment, and his ears were open to those cries. Amen? Woo! That'll preach. I need a... God, isn't it incredible when we think about the blessing of God and being in his favor and knowing that his eyes are upon us and he looks at us face to face, eye to eye? Listen what Scripture says again when we think about how we are to bestow favor on others. Jesus says in John 13, verses 14 and 15, "So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should also do just as I have done for you." Now, I do not believe necessarily that we are to literally wash one another's feet, although I have been in a foot washing ceremony, and many of you probably have been in such a ceremony, and it is a very humbling thing, mind you. Not only for that individual that's washing the feet, but honestly, when my feet were washed, I had one of my youth in Fort Worth, Texas, shortly before I left to come back here to Arkansas in a service. He washed my feet, and it was so humbling but so moving. Not literally doing that, but when we think about washing another person's feet, that what we are communicating is, I see you. I know the need that you have, and I am going to do my best to meet that need. Amen? And we are bestowing that on that person. So how can you wash another person's feet and be that blessing in someone's life? So we are bestowed and we are possessed. Now this is the one you were like, whoa, what is he talking about? But just as there is a negative connotation to this, then there must be a positive connotation to this. And usually when we think about being possessed, we think about being possessed by an evil spirit. But let us think this morning about being possessed by the Spirit of God. And when we are possessed by the Spirit of God, He is our peace. He is our comforter. That's what Jesus said when He was saying, I'm going away, but I'm going to send another to you, a comforter, a parakletos, someone who walks beside you and that will give you peace. This is what Jesus says in John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled. Amen. I am so glad that the Lord gives us peace, not as the world gives us, because the world has their definition of peace. But this is this shalom peace, this completeness, this wholeness that comes only from knowing our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen again, again, Pastor Chris is going to look at this a little bit further down the road when we get into Philippians chapter 4. He says, don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. One of the things when we were, Pastor Chris and I were standing with the family and talking with them, Maggie, I remember this very well. She said, you know, I have heard about the peace of God that comes into a person's life in times like this, but I never truly experienced it until today. And let me tell you, the peace of God was shining in her life in that moment because I could see it all over her face, that because her faith was firmly planted on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, and she had that assurance that God's eyes were on her and her family. Amen? So for us, as we think about that possession and how we can be a blessing to others and how we can offer that peace, we need to think about what the author of Hebrews says in chapter 12, verse 14. He says, pursue peace with everyone and holiness. Without it, no one will see the Lord. We must pursue it. We must chase after it. So whatever it takes, and I know, again, this flies into the face of our society and culture, which tells us to look out for number one, look out for yourself. But this is talking about pursuing peace so that it goes beyond our interests, our rights, and to the rights of someone else. And whatever it takes to have peace with that individual or those individuals, amen? We're to pursue it. We're to chase after it. Lastly this morning, as we look at verse 27, kind of the capstone of this thrice blessing, we are branded and we're promised. Branded and promised. Not literally that we have a brand on us, but when you think about being branded, you think about being identified. Listen to what the scripture says. In this way they will pronounce my name over the Israelites. You've got to think about what comes with the name of God on a person's life. It's to be identified with who He is in all His nature. And as Christians, as Christ followers, the name of Christ is on our lives, and we are branded and we are identified with everything that is of God. Listen to what Scripture tells us. How the first covenant was inadequate, and how Jesus, when He came, He initiated a new covenant. Hebrews chapter 8, For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion for a second one. But finding fault with his people, God says this, "See, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their ancestors on the day I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. I showed no concern for them, says the Lord, because they did not continue in my covenant. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds." You see that identification, you see that branding there. "And write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they will be my people." You see that identification, that branding there. "And each person will not teach his fellow citizen and each his brother or sister, saying, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least to the greatest of them. For I will forgive their wrongdoing, and I will never again remember their sins." Amen. You know, as we think about being branded and being identified with Jesus Christ and how our lives are to be a blessing to others, I thought about the hymn that we sing from time to time, "Let others see Jesus in you while passing through this world of sin, and others your life shall view. Be clean and pure without within, let others see Jesus in you. Your life's a book before their eyes, they're reading it through and through. Say, does it point them to the skies? Do others see Jesus in you? What joy 'twill be at the set of sun in mansions beyond the blue to find some souls that you have won. Let others see Jesus in you. Then live for Christ both day and night. Be faithful, be brave, be true. And lead the lost to life and life. Let others see Jesus in you. Let others see Jesus in you. Let others see Jesus in you. Keep telling the story. Be faithful and true. Let others see Jesus in you." Do others see Jesus in you? When they look at your life, can they identify you with the Savior and how you speak and how you live? That's how we're to be a blessing to others. So we're branded, and then lastly this morning, we're promised. Whew. Let me tell you something. God has manifold blessings for His children. And you see them in His Word over and over again. Charles Spurgeon said this, "The Lord has blessed His people, and He would have them know it. He has blessed them with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and it is His wish that they should experience the fullness of His blessedness. Are any of the Lord's people without a sense of His blessing? It is not the will of God that you should continue in that low condition." Amen. It is not the will of God for you to not sense His blessing in your life. Maybe the reason why you're not sensing His blessing in your life is because there's sin there and you need to confess it to God so that you can experience that restored fellowship that He longs to have with you so that the manifold blessings of God can be on display in your life. Maybe this morning you're not experiencing the blessings of God because you never have come to that point where you have said yes to the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. You have never repented of your sins and asked God to forgive you of those sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Let me tell you this morning, today is a day of salvation. Confess it to Him and experience the manifold blessings of God in your life. He desires to bless you in that way. Listen to what Scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. "For every one of God's promises is yes in Him being Christ Jesus. Therefore, through Him we also say amen to the glory of God." And amen to the glory of God this morning, because I stand amazed in the presence of God this morning that He would look upon me and bless me. Can you tell I haven't preached in a while, Pastor Chris? It's an overflow this morning. Listen also to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens of Christ. God desires to bless His people, but He also desires for us to be a blessing. And I want to share with you this morning the prayer of St. Francis, because I think it kind of encapsulates all of this, of what we're talking. He says this: Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. Would that be your prayer this morning? Child of God, would that be your prayer this morning? Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Allow me to be a pathway, a blessing to those around me. Lost person this morning, your prayer is different. Your prayer needs to be, God, I understand that I'm a sinner. I understand there's nothing I can do about this. I cannot make it better. But I am so thankful that Jesus did something about it on the cross. He died for my sins. Thank you for that death. Thank you for His resurrection from the dead that ensures that I can be forgiven. Cleanse me today from all unrighteousness. And from henceforth, I will live for you. Would that be your prayer, lost person, today? As we enter this time of response and bow our heads and close our eyes, here in this sanctuary, and those of you who are watching online, what would God have you pray today? Maybe you are lost this morning. I want to encourage you to consider how God desires to bless you through His Son, Jesus Christ. Would you come to Him today? Just as you are, confess your sin. Repent of those sins. Turn to God. Ask Him to forgive you. Allow Him to bless you with forgiveness today and henceforth live for Him. Christ follower this morning, would your prayer simply be, God, would you allow others to see Jesus in me? Whatever that takes, whatever that looks like, if I have to have a conversation with somebody, if I have to wash someone's feet, that's what I'll do. But I want others to see Jesus in me and be a pathway of blessing. Would you pray that today? Father in heaven, as we close our time, we are so thankful for your blessings. We're thankful that you desire to bless us, and we are so thankful that through Jesus Christ, you have ultimately showed the greatest blessing by dying for our sins and allowing us to have forgiveness of sins. God, I pray for those that may be here this morning or watching online. If they do not know you, if they have never confessed their sins, may this be the morning that they come to you and allow your blessings to infuse their life. For those of us who are Christ followers, I pray that through the supernatural working of the Holy Spirit, that you would infuse our lives, not just with the blessings that you have for us, but infuse our lives with the ability to allow them to flow into the lives of those around us. Show us what we need to do, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.